Let's take our Bibles and the time remaining, look together in Daniel chapter 4. I had someone contact me this week that's a listener, and he commented, he said, "You sure do like to preach from the Old Testament." Well, when you consider in your Bible how much of it's Old Testament compared to the New, then it's not to be neglected. But he also did add, he said, "I've listened to a lot of preachers, but I've never heard a preacher yet that brings out Christ, the Christ, as you do from the Old Testament." And I told him, I said, "Well, the glory belongs unto the Lord there, because we're not just studying these Old Testament portions for a matter of history or law, but to see how in all of this is the history of redemption, how God has purposed to glorify himself, preserving a people all the way through these times. There's a remnant according to the election of grace, even as there is today, for whom the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world in the fullness of the time and redeemed those that were under that law, under that condemnation, and whereby he gives his spirit that causes those he's redeemed to cry out, 'Abba, Father,' spirit of adoption." So in this message in Daniel chapter 4, I want to read the entire chapter for us, and the title of this message is "The Decree of the Most High." And the reason I want to read the entire chapter is because it's pretty straightforward what we're finding here. That, again, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. This time, the vision is of a tree, whereas the one we had seen previously was of an image that was set up. And the Lord, through Daniel, revealed unto him that the different parts of that image represented different kingdoms that would arise, Nebuchadnezzar being the head, but then all the way down to the feet of iron, and part iron, part clay, representing the Roman Empire. And in between, there were the Medes and the Persians, and there were the Greeks. So everything's unfolded exactly as God said it would. That's what Daniel 3 was about. But now this dream, and I want us, after we finish going through this chapter, to come back next time, particularly to Nebuchadnezzar's confession when this was all said and done. But the decree of the Most High, here is a clear chapter in Scripture that shows us that all things are of God. And even where this pagan king, a ruthless king, was brought to see that he was no match, so to speak, for God and his direction and his kingdom. There's a kingdom that rules over all. So here, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, verse 1, unto all people. So he's written this down as his declaration of what he experienced. Nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders, notice here, that the high God hath brought toward me. So right from the beginning, he's acknowledging that what he had experienced was from none other than the high God. There is a God that's worshipped today, but not the high God, the one who's over all. The one, yes, whom even Satan himself is God's instrument. Satan is God's Satan. Otherwise, he wouldn't exist. And that was pretty evident in Job's life when Satan sought to lay his hand on Job. He couldn't do one thing but what God gave him that order to do. Couldn't raise a finger. Same God here. He says, "How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders." Notice here, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. There's never been a time where God has not reigned. And this would be good for us to remember even today. God is reigning. That the upheavals of any nation and the troubles, the foments, all these things are from his hand and from his throne. else they would not be. This world is not divided between two powers, good and evil, between Satan and God. And the way that this God is preached, the popular God, is like a tug of war, and now he needs the help of his people to get on his side by their prayers and devotions, help get the victory over Satan. That's not the God of the Bible. Here Nebuchadnezzar is even making this declaration. And this is an official declaration. Someone asked me, is there anywhere in history, in the recorded archives of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, because there were tablets in which, and in fact columns, where these kings would leave historical declarations concerning their reign. Is there anything that they found that would indicate that this story was true? None have been found, but I'll tell you, it's in the Word of God. This is where it's written. That this exactly as is being declared took place. And so verse 4, Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. You would think, well, nothing could reach him. Look at him at ease. Even that ease was from God's hand. And yet he was a despot king. But God would soon shake his false security. Don't think that people in their wealth and their power and positions that somehow are unreachable. God can turn people upside down. He can turn a whole nation upside down in an instant if that's his purpose. And so here it's significant. He was at rest in his house and flourishing in his palace, but it was a false security. It wasn't lasting. And so he says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. There again, there's nothing out of God's reach when he purposes to shake and trouble a creature. They'll be shaken. They'll lay down to get some rest, but they won't find rest. Here he said, it made me afraid. That's God putting his fear within him. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. Now this time, it wasn't like the first time where he said he could not remember the dream, and he called these in to not only describe the dream, but give the interpretation. Here, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So vivid was this dream in his mind that he would tell it to all of his wise men, so-called, wise, worldly wise. They came in, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And he said, I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. They were probably afraid. It wasn't that this dream would have been difficult to understand. It's not the same as we saw in Daniel chapter 2. He readily told his counselors this dream, but they did not tell him what it meant. Did not make known unto him. Perhaps even fearing for their lives. If we tell him that, it's like false preachers today. What's clearly revealed in this word, they see it. But I've actually had preachers tell me, well, I couldn't preach God's sovereignty the way you do. That'd get me fired. I can't preach that it's only for God's elect that Christ was sent into this world. It'd get me fired. But at the last, verse 8, and this is an amazing thing, that Daniel should be the last to be called. Why wasn't he sent for sooner, especially in light of what was already made known of him amongst these soothsayers and sorcerers from the previous dream? You could only say that it was perhaps out of jealousy. They didn't want Daniel in there. They didn't want him to be heard, and that only revealed the hardness of their own heart. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, and that's the name that the king of Babylon, you remember, gave to Daniel. The word Bel was the name of the Babylonian god. So he named him after the Babylonian god, even though that wasn't his given name from Israel. But he says that, according to the name of my God. See, this is the compromise that we find with men. They want to have part of the glory in all things. And in whom, he says here, is the spirit of the holy gods. So this shows that Nebuchadnezzar had some understanding that Daniel's God was different than the god Bel that he worshipped. And yet, even with this, did not convert him. What I want us to see here is that someone can make some pretty clear statements, true things concerning God, and still not know the truth. And I believe that's what we find here with Nebuchadnezzar. He's describing as a blind man this God of Daniel, and yet attributing to him, when he says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, plural, that among all these other gods, then yes, this one proves himself to be mightier than the rest. But God's not to be compared with other little G-O-D-S's that men imagine or think of in their minds. But he says, before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, that mixing them in with a lot, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. That's interesting, that for the others, he gave them the dream and asked them the interpretation. Here, he puts Daniel again on the spot. Tell me what the dream was, because Daniel wasn't there when they were first called. Tell me what the dream was and the interpretation thereof. God purposed that, again, to set Daniel apart as the one in whom all truth was revealed. Here again, Daniel is a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's not one thing that is not revealed in, by, and through the Lord Jesus Christ concerning all creatures. Christ prayed that in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He thanked God that God had given authority over all flesh to give eternal life unto as many as the Father had given him. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. This was describing Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. It was truly a world empire at that particular time. This tree in the midst of the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all the flesh fed it. So here Nebuchadnezzar in this dream was noted for his kingdom, its size, its strength, its prominence, its beauty, its fruit, its shelter, all that being described here. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, presumably an angel, a watcher and a holy one, came down from heaven. Some would say that this may well be even a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the watcher. All things are by his hand. He's the holy one. I know that the angels, the elect angels, are called holy angels, but the way this is put, a holy one, distinct from anything that he had observed even to that point. And he cried aloud and said thus, because are not all kingdoms in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? His rule did not begin when he came to earth the first time. Psalm 2, God had already declared in his eternal covenant, I have set my king on my holy hill. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. This is the part where all judgment has been put into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. Some people say that tree stump being bound with iron and brass was for its protection, that it might be kept even as a stump and not continue to degenerate. In the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. We don't know what that means, 7 years, but the word seven in Scripture refers to completion. That these seven times should pass over him until God purposed that it should be done. And so this matter, notice, is by the decree of the watchers. There's put in the plural. So you've got the watcher up there, and then who's the watcher of the watchers? It's Christ and his angels. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. What a statement. Again, some might look at this and think, well, then he was converted. No, as you read on, we find that he continues to oppose Daniel. We still haven't dealt with the fiery furnace. And almost as if this king is divided in personality. That on the one hand, he's declaring God for who he is, and yet on the other hand, will renounce him given the opportunity. But here we see again how God is sovereign and even bringing out of unconverted kings the truth concerning who he is and how he reigns over this earth. Nebuchadnezzar here is declaring what men in our day refuse to declare. They think it's up to man. But here it says he ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Setteth it up over it the basis of men. We know that that's particularly true even in how he deals in grace with such sinners as we are, where his purpose to rule in the hearts of wicked sinners such as we are and cause them to rule and reign with Christ through his finished work accomplished. And so here Nebuchadnezzar asked Daniel to interpret the dream. It says in verse 18, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. The spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Again, you recognize something different about Daniel and that spirit that was in him, but like a blind man trying to interpret these things through his own knowledge and intellect. And so we see Daniel then giving the interpretation here in verse 19 down to verse 26. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour. Imagine. He understood what this is about. There's times when we're called upon to declare the truth to wicked men, even those with particular power and authority. And it's not necessarily easy, but the truth cannot be compromised. He was astonished for 1 hour and his thoughts troubled him. How is it that he's going to declare to this king the truth of what he had dreamt and yet not compromise? And so the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. I think Nebuchadnezzar knew that this pertained to him some way. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. Word that this would be upon those that hate you, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies, rather than it be to you. What a great way to introduce what he was about to say. Daniel had no hatred for Nebuchadnezzar, even though Nebuchadnezzar ultimately would prove he hated Daniel's God. I think about how our Lord dealt with his enemies. Some people think that he just relished in pronouncing judgment. No. Would that they would see the glory of God. And yet, only God alone can reveal his glory. And so the tree that thou sawest in verse 20, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under the which the beasts of the field, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. Talk about going straight to the point. Daniel here is, without ambiguity, getting right to the point. Unlike so many today that preach around, they don't want to ruffle feathers, they don't want to get people upset, so they preach in such a manner as you to have no clue what they said. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one, a watcher, even a holy one, would be another way of interpreting that, coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let this portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over. This is the interpretation. And this is how God causes his servants to preach. Not speculation, not opinion, but this is the interpretation. And I truly believe this is how the word needs to be declared. This is how Christ set it forth without ambiguity. And his servants, when it comes to interpreting this word, it's exactly as the Lord has ordained. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. That's why the title of this message is that, the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till what? Look how many times this is repeated. Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. There's not a power that exists today but what God has ordained. Even Paul said that to those he wrote in Rome. There's not a power that exists but what is ordained of the Lord. And the Roman Empire was not a friendly power. It was an evil nation. And yet Paul declared that it wouldn't exist were it not for God giving it to whomsoever he wills. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree, roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. So here he's giving a little bit of good news. This is going to happen, but God's purpose, you'll get your kingdom back. Again, because of that dream. After him would come another nation. And that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. But when you get your reason back, when this is all said and done, you'll know that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. You can see here he calls Nebuchadnezzar to repentance, just like any. I don't care whether the Lord's or not, there's only one thing that can be commanded of sinners, and that is to repent. And to break off thy sins by righteousness, by doing that which is just, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So he's reminding Nebuchadnezzar here. And again, this is not works salvation that Daniel is preaching here, but as a king, how is it that he's to rule? How is it he's supposed to exercise that authority that God has given him, that it be in righteousness and justice, not being a respecter of persons? The true example, all these kings, prophets, priests, and kings in the Old Testament were, in essence, types and pictures of how the Lord Jesus Christ himself rules as a just king and showing mercy. But who is to be compared unto him? So all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, imagine 12 months went by. You suppose that Nebuchadnezzar perhaps forgot about this? 12 months went by. It wasn't immediate. It was said here that he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That pretty much shows that whatever he had to declare before really had no heart to it. There had been no conversion of his heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here we find him taking the glory. And while the word was in the king's mouth, here I say, be careful who gets the glory. Because God has no rivals. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. It was at the end of 12 months. Perhaps Nebuchadnezzar forgot about it, but God knows his purpose, his will. He's never ahead of time and he's never late. It's always according to what he's purposed in his decree. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know. Here it is again. This is the fourth time this is repeated. That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. There's some that try to say that this was some kind of psychological disorder that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, because there are some that, and again, all God has to do is change one chemical in the brain and we'd all be blithering idiots. But there's actually a psychological term for this, where people begin to imitate the behavior of an animal. But we know that whatever the second cause, and it's a delusion. He was delusional that he was an ox and actually out there acting like one. And yet, you know, the first cause of all things is the Lord himself. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. Look at that. His whole appearance changed. But at the end of the days, here again it shows God was directing all this. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. I know some might be asking me, well, how can you say one converted? Well, there's nothing here of sacrifice. There's nothing here that says that he joined with Daniel, identified with him, and
how he worshiped God.
Yet he stated some very true things. I've said that before. I've had people send me messages from some preachers, and they say, I think this man's preaching what you're preaching, and it's on God's sovereignty. And yes, they can preach a pretty clear, defined message on God's sovereignty and never once mention Christ. It's a doctrine that they've gotten hold of and they acknowledge, and yet the glory and honor isn't given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't preach a passage like this without seeing how Daniel was that type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is given all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but that also God can cause even stones, Christ said, to cry out. He made a donkey talk and declare the truth, and yet he uses his creatures how he will. He's going to get the glory one way or another. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. This is what I want to come back to next time. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, that none can stay his hand or send him what doest thou. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom. See, this is his testimony. He gets back to, what is he thankful for? He got his kingdom back. For the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. If it had been a true conversion, they would have, you've been pointing them to Daniel's God. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to efface. All that's true, but if it comes from the lips and not from the heart, it's vain worship. All right, we'll have to draw a line there and come back to it again next time.